Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back Show, where intimacy is real. If you desire to intimately connect with yourself, your significant other, children, family, friends, community, and your higher power, this show is for you. Thus, we explore intimate topics, inspiring life stories, spirituality, and insightful tips on strengthening relationships. This show is hosted by Dr. April and her co-host, Dr. Kelly. Now let's get this episode of the Bringing Intimacy Back Show started, because we share with you the secret power to intimacy to create a life you love, or love the life you create. Now here's your host, Dr. April, and co-host, Dr. Kelly.
Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. How are you doing, Dr. Kelly?
I'm doing pretty fantastic, and I'm not lying.
Oh, awesome. Good. Well, you know, today, you know what we're going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about LDR.
Do you know what that is?
Long distance relationship.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Something that I don't know if you've ever been in, but I've been in, but I didn't do well in. And so we are bringing in someone who actually knows what he's doing, you know, which is great, because for some of us, that is difficult, especially with all the stuff that's going on, you know, and you can't really socialize and, you know, get involved in much.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious about it. I have had long distance relationships, and there was a time when I wanted them all to be long distance. I'm not single for nothing. Okay. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, along the way is Tom Anton. Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Doc?
Yes.
Good. Or doc times two, is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah. Exponential.
Yes, yes, Doc squared. Okay. So, Tom, thank you so much for coming on the show. Tom has been in a long-distance relationship for how many years, Tom?
20.
20, yes, which is amazing. Yes.
Well,
yes.
Well, the thing is, Doc, is you got to get to know somebody before you commit, you know. So,
the same person, Tom? The
yeah,
same person?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
No, I got the key to longevity. You live at least 3 hours away and you see them like clockwork every 6 months.
I'm taking notes.
Yes, and Tom just doesn't, in a relationship, just doesn't spend all his time just doing that. But Tom is actually a successful, very successful person who does a lot of stuff on the internet. And he's really kind of, when we start talking, you're going to realize he's just the guy next door. But he is an internet millionaire guy next door, and he's the founder of a large internet marketing school. What's it called?
Internet Marketing Training Center. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so he knows a lot about the internet. And you're also the subject of a new Hollywood documentary that's coming out in the spring.
Yep, that's right. Called The American Entrepreneur. But, you know, I kind of, when they came to me about it, I was like, hey, I thought you're supposed to be dead before they do a documentary about you. And I thought, am I supposed to call the funeral home right now and say I'll be right over or what? But apparently not. So, yeah, it's coming out this spring.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah. So everybody's just getting all into your life and stuff. Yeah.
Hey, does it make you feel vulnerable? How do you feel about it?
Right. Is that what it, well, I'll tell you what, I do have a kind of a colorful background, but I was doing a speech. I've been a professional speaker for a long time, and I was doing a speech for a bunch of psychiatrists and psychologists. And I thought, man, that's a good chance for some free therapy. So at lunchtime, they always want to sit with the speaker. And I was telling them about my mother. And I saw them all look at each other like in horror. And I thought, I better shut up now because it's getting bad. But my mother was a big influence, a negative influence on this is an intimacy show. So I like to joke around a little bit, but I know these are serious topics for people listening. So yeah, your parents can have a big input on you. And that's a good lesson for parents now and, you know, to be a little more careful with how they treat their children, because it can last forever pretty much.
It sure can. Yeah. You know, they must not have been a Freudian group.
Must not have been. So I'm ready. Lay it on me, Doc.
Okay. Well, just because you mentioned Freud, and I have a curious mind. And since you mentioned it, what do you mean that your mother, her situation impacted you to go the reverse?
Well, I was the baby of six boys. First of all, just a little bit of background. My dad was married to my mother for 57 years.
Wow.
Yeah, everybody says, wow. Wait a minute. He was married to another lady for 20 years before that.
Oh, so, my
yeah, that's where I get the, oh, my God.
So
he was married. He was married 77 years. I say I haven't made it 77 minutes with anybody. So, when he married my mother, he had three boys, and one of them was the same age as my mother. And so, kind of weird family dynamic. And then she had three boys, of which I am the baby. And so six boys in the family. She grew up in a tough area, Pittsburgh, where they'd throw you in the pool. You know, she was, white girl in a mostly black community, and they'd throw you in the pool if you weren't for Joe Louis, the boxer. And so she had a pretty tough upbringing. And then she's got a son, same age as her, which is about as weird as you can get. And then, and so I'm the baby, and she always wanted a girl. I'm kind of glad she didn't have a girl, because she would have messed the girl up even worse. And then as a boy, as a brother, you can't win with a sister. That's my pitiful, you know, because if they're really gorgeous, you got to fight over them. If they're really ugly, you got to fight over them. So you can't win. Even if they're middle of the road, you still got to fight over them. So anyway, so I'm the baby. And so that's all the funny part of it. But from the time I could understand language, all right, all my brother's girlfriends and wives were dirty whores. That's what she was putting in my head as soon as I was a little kid. All right.
So that's what you heard your mother saying, that this person was a dirty whore. This person was a dirty whore.
Yeah. Yeah. All just ragging. That's all I heard, that every woman in our family was that. All right. In some fashion. And so when I was telling this to these guys at this, or these men and women at this speech, they went like this. And I'm saying, what are you talking about? They said, well, your expectations of women are so high, it's no wonder you're still single. So that was quite an insight at, I don't know, 35, 40 years old to figure that out. But yeah, it's I can relate to it. But I'm thinking, all right, what do I do about it? But things are going good the way it is now. I happen to find the right person, or I'll say she found me. And she found me, Doc, at Love at AOL. This was the precursor to Match.com.
Yeah.
It was a free thing at AOL. So before both of you were born, probably. And I had put an ad in, and it was in there for like 3 years, and I never got any response. And then she shows up. I said, man, I better grab this one, because I was the only one responded to the ad. And she was thinking that she couldn't believe that I was real, because I had a practical joke, an entertainment company, and I was a professional speaker. And so she's calling me up like, that's not a job. What are you trying to say? But then we hit it off. She lived 3 hours away, and I went to visit her. She came to visit me, and that was the start of it right there. Love at AOL.
Wow.
I'm curious, what did the ad say?
I think it said that I'm a practical joker, and she kind of thought that, you know, I'm just, my personality is a practical joker, but I was getting paid to pull custom designed practical jokes long before Punk'd was around. I had a company called Prankmaster where we custom designed practical jokes based on Candid Camera, but Candid Camera, you had to live in California and get caught by the camera to participate. But people could call me up, and I would custom design a practical joke for them. It wasn't anything mean spirited. It was for birthdays, anniversaries, and stuff. And we did 4,000 of them in 6 years in and around Washington D.C. I had 35 people working for me. So when people say, "Well, it's hard to make money," no, it isn't. Just go out there and do something crazy, and people will pay for it.
So your sense of humors, do they match?
Mine is a little more over the top than hers, but sometimes we're on the phone together laughing so hard we can't hardly breathe. And so one of the things that when I was living in D.C., there was a magazine called The Washingtonian. And in the back, this is pre-internet, in the back was a classified ad section all about, personal ads. And so I said, you know what, I teach humor in the workplace and humor in relationships. And so I collected all these magazines over the course of several years. And then I went through every single ad, and 70% of them said something about, I want somebody with a sense of humor. Pretty important thing there for longevity in relationships. As long as the other person's, they match somewhat, or the other person just puts up with you, but loves the fact that it's you making a fool of yourself. So that'll work too. But the sense of humor is a big part of it for us, for sure. And I imagine with those numbers, for a lot of other couples too.
You're a pioneer.
What's that?
You were on landlines.
Yes, that's right. We were on landlines. I should get a picture of it out. I have it over in the garage. I had one of the first cell phones in my, when I lived in a different place, and it was in a suitcase. You had to have a suitcase next to you on the seat to do it. But yeah, we did landlines, and she took a bus up to see me because she doesn't drive. There's another thing. And you talk about mothers. My mother didn't drive. Now that I think of it, and this girl, I got her license, but oh my God, that was death defying. So she doesn't really drive. Her brother drives, and I drive. She doesn't really drive too much.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So it's been quite a ride. It's been 20 years now, just this year. And like I said, you got to see him like clockwork at least every 6 months. So that's the key.
All right. Well, I wouldn't be much of a psychologist if I didn't push you a little bit here.
Push me all the way up.
So any movement towards anything more, or is this the way it's going to be?
This is kind of a sad commentary on it, but this is the way it's going to be until her mother passes. Again, why I didn't want to put her on here and listen to this, because she is just, her brother, one of her brothers was abused as a child, and then they were 15 years of nightmare schizophrenia. He's going to kill him one minute, sweetest kid the next minute. He ended up hanging himself. She was here with me, and I had to break it to her. Oh my God. And so, and her dad died from a heart attack suddenly. And being as sensitive as she is, she needs to be with her mother as long as humanly possible. And like I said, her mother's been a better mother to me than my own mother. For us to be together is not important. It's important for her to take care of her mother, for sure.
You're still together because this is a relationship that's working. Mm-hmm. Give us
exactly.
Some secrets. Right. Tell us more.
Yeah. And you know what else? I'll tell you another tip that I'll bet you never heard on this show. Right. The way to make it work is the dollar store. I know you never heard that one. So we both grew up very frugal. All right. My dad came from Syria on a cattle boat in the early 1900s. He's part of this documentary they're doing about me. And everything was frugal. I can't brush my teeth now and let the water run because I hear my dad, don't waste water. We had 13 wells on our property. Don't waste water. Don't waste things. And she grew up very frugal. So just yesterday, I went to FedEx and sent her, I spent $68 at the dollar store. You can get a lot of stuff, $68 at the dollar store. I sent her this big box of stuff and on the phone, she was telling me last week, I need some, these rubber gloves you do dishes with. And she said, I'm not paying, said, we're not paying $3 for them either. She said, this shouldn't be. So we're both, frugal. So I went down to the dollar store and there's these, they're dollar a piece. So I bought like 40 pairs, put them in the box and all kinds of stuff that I knew she used and needed, and sent her. It cost me $40 FedEx to send her $60 worth of crap from the dollar store, but it doesn't matter. It's just the fact that we keep in touch with that. We pay attention to each other's needs. She sends me pills all the time. She's a total freaking nutcase on holistic stuff. And I'm not allowed to use the microwave. Okay. Another reason I didn't want her on here because, you know, when she comes down every once in a while, I got to clean the microwave. Like, no, I haven't been using the microwave. You know, so you have to strategically lie in a relationship too. I bet that's good advice to pass. But she sends me these pills of stuff that I don't know. They scraped it off the floor in China and put it in a bottle and said, this is good for thyroid, you know, something. And I said, okay, yeah, I'll take them. No, I don't take them. So she's just quite a unique situation. I wouldn't suggest this idea for everybody. I got to tell you that it's a unique situation.
Yeah,
but it is awesome. Working.
Yeah, it's awesome that you take care of her and that she is, like you said, she helps take care of her mom. You know.
Her and her brother.
Yeah. Because when you take care of a parent and child, that can be pretty stressful.
Oh, it's totally. She's whacked out half the time, and I call her and she says, "I don't want to tell you all the bad stuff," and I keep talking until I can get it out of her so she can. Let it get an outlet. But that's, you know, once her mother passes, then that's going to be a whole new thing. However, she's a great jewelry designer and has all this machinery.
Oh, good.
That wouldn't fit here. And then I have this massive retreat center that I can't move to Charlottesville, Virginia. So something will have to give. But, you know, once her mother is gone, we'll be together a lot at that point.
Sir. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And definitely in the sense of.
And then that's probably when we'll break up.
Hopefully not.
Goldie Hawn never married Kurt Russell, I think.
Right. And they have a very good relationship stuff. But it's really good that you're helping her be a caretaker and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one thing on this show that I just wanted to highlight is we do highlight nonprofits. And one of the nonprofits that we highlight is the American Nursing Foundation. And just like you're sending stuff to help her, the American Nursing Foundation. Nurses are really great during this time period where we have a lot of needs for COVID. So please check out the American Nursing Foundation. They have a hashtag called #GiveMePPE, and they help nurses not only with supplies of PPE, but also with mental health stuff. So yes, but we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to get more into the details of how you keep communication going for 20 years. And of course, how do we do all this intimacy stuff for 20 years? Yes. We'll take a short commercial break and we'll be back in a moment.
Are you wanting a vacation in paradise? A vacation to rekindle the passion? A vacation without the kids? A vacation where you can learn how to communicate, where you and your partner actually hear each other and gain insight? If so, vacation counseling is your next vacation. Dr. April Brown has created vacation counseling in Southwest Florida as a perfect option for you and your partner. Our retreats are one couple at a time. We have a variety of packages available to choose from, including virtual couples retreats. If you and your partner are interested in the vacation counseling, please visit us at vacationcounseling.com for more information on pricing and packages. Also, follow us on Instagram and Facebook to keep track of the latest news, stories, activities, or coupons on vacation counseling and Dr. April's other services. We encourage you to sign up to receive a monthly newsletter called Intimate Connections at draprilbrown.com. Remember, if you and your partner are struggling with communication and intimacy, and you all are looking for a retreat to connect, vacation counseling can be your next vacation in Southwest Florida.
Okay, welcome back to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. So we've been talking with Tom, who's been in a relationship for 20 years, long distance. Yes, and they've been successfully happy and stuff. And so, Tom, one of the main questions we have is how do you make intimacy work, the communication and the emotional intimacy, and of course, all of that sexual intimacy for 20 years.
How well, like work? I said, you see him like, you know, first of all, I'm over the hill already. So I'm so far over the hill, I can't remember going up the hill, put it that way. So I guess the libido isn't as big as it used to be. But the intimacy is far more than that. It's the laughter, the talking about what's going on with her. She wants to know what's going on with me. And, you know, we used to talk for many years, probably 10 of those years every day. But now with her mother, you know, going downhill a little bit, she's just got so much on her plate. She's exhausted most of the time. And I just rather she get some rest than worry about talking to me. But that's pretty much it. Laughter, shared values, like with the like animals, for instance. We're both animal nuts. One time that's my main charity things. Although we do with nurses, we do give, my school gives a 50% scholarship to nurses, first responders, law enforcement, awesome. And military.
Yeah. What's the name of your school again? So we can
Internet Marketing Training Center of Virginia.
Okay.
And, but it's distance learning, so people can be anywhere, so we have shared values. So we're always talking about the dogs I have German Shepherds. She's always got the little ones. She's got, we had Bichons for a long time. And so one time it was my birthday and I thought, you know what? I don't need anything. What can I do good in the world? So I threw a teleclass fundraiser and raised $24,000 for Bichon Rescue. And the lady that thought I was showing up for the $100, she's like the most selfless lady. She had 17 dogs in her home in Virginia, Southern Virginia. And I show up with $24,000. So she almost had a heart attack herself. So we're both into animals and so that's a big part of the conversation. How's Minnie doing? Oh, she's gaining weight. I got to get her, you know? So all of those little things are the intimacy that, else am I going to talk to about it? So it has not really been that difficult. Now, one thing I learned from a lady one time, I asked her, she'd been married a long time. I said, what do you think the key is? And she said, you got to learn how to fight.
Mm.
And I said, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
She said, you're going to fight, but you got to learn what the real rules are and the lines that you don't cross so that you don't do irreparable damage. So that was a pretty interesting. So I know where the lines are. She knows where the lines are. And we have disagreements over stuff, you know. So, for instance, when she sends me a $40 bottle of pills that looks like I don't know, they'd ground up dead rodents or something, put it in the thing, and I won't take it, she gets mad at me. But the thing is, we don't cross the line, and we learned how to fight and without doing damage.
You know, you made a good point earlier too about how you have shared values. And I heard somebody once say, actually, it was Dr. Dow Persley from Pennsylvania at the time. And he said, people don't separate or divorce because of, you know, like, it's why they separate is what they value. If mm-hmm. you value the same things, it's not just about the money. It's that you value the boat, mm-hmm. how you spend the money. It's that. So I just think that that's so awesome. And it shows a great success for your relationship that you value the same things. And the humor too, Tom, that's so encouraging, because some days, and it sounds like she just needs to laugh or, you know, forget a little bit about what she's going through. There's a thing called compassion fatigue, and people are fatigued that have their caregiver stress and compassion fatigue, and that she has you. And you can get her to think about something else for that moment or for that phone call or the time that you spend together. It's pretty beautiful.
Well, yeah. And just last night, I'm talking to her and I wanted to make sure the box of stuff got there. And she hadn't even opened it yet. She was so stressed out working with her mother and she's crying. And so by the end of the call, I had taken her some completely different world. Into my world where I wrote a funny email to somebody and read it to her and had her laughing, you know. So it's like the, you know, you keep twisting a spring or, you know, or pulling it, it's finally going to break. It's got to get some kind of release of the tension. Even if it's not all the way, at least it won't break. If I can relieve it a little bit, that's kind of when I know she's in that situation, I go out of my way to do that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's like Dr. Kelly was saying, I think that's a great tool because especially when you're in a long distance relationship and you see your partner hurting, mm-hmm. then you're like, oh my gosh, how can I do? What can I do to make it better? And you were blessed with a great sense of humor. And of course, intelligence.
well, it's, you know, like I said, I wouldn't suggest this for everybody because, you know, it's most people couldn't handle this. See, when I grew up, baby of six boys in a little two horse town, I mean, literally my hometown was 500 people and we lived in the suburbs. So total sticks. I mean, so I had nobody, there wasn't any neighbor to play with. I was by myself a lot. So I'm sitting here in 11,000 square feet right now, happy as a lark being by myself. So it's easy for me to do this, but it might be a little harder for her, you know, not having me close. But again, it's hard to broach the idea. Okay, we'll be together when your mother dies. Oh boy, that's, you know, who wants to say that or even think about that, you know? So I think both of us know that in the end, but it's not something that's easy to talk about.
Maybe you could reframe it and say, just ask her, say, hey, what do you think our relationship will change? Or let's talk about some ways that our relationship will change if distance weren't a factor.
We do talk a little bit about the future, but we try not to have her mother in it as, you know, as a focus of it, but where will we live? Because a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world nowadays. And we want to live in places that are relatively safe and more conservative. We're both very conservative. So we do talk about that. And we have, we both have dreams that we want to have a big, I got this big place, but I always wanted one of these dome homes that are like hurricane proof and have our own, sustainable gardens and stuff connected to it. And so we daydream about the future like that too. So that is a part of it. Yeah. I hadn't thought of it, but we do that regularly. Think about what the future is going to be.
Right. So for you, especially in the past year with this coronavirus and election and all that, have you felt alone? Because you're, you know, just by yourself with a couple of dogs.
No, people call me, they've known me for 20 years, say, Tom, you okay with this COVID stuff? And I'm like, what? I've been sitting in my house, working out of my house my whole life. And so nothing is different for me. All right. So the only thing is I got a bandana. So I pretend to wear a mask. So somebody doesn't bitch at me while I'm in the grocery store. You know? So, and I'm not getting COVID. I refuse. It's just, you know, stay away from me. So it hasn't affected me or her at all.
Okay. She's used to being home also, I'm assuming.
Yeah, she's a jewelry designer. She works out of her home, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, not at all. Good.
Well, can we springboard off of your relationship and you give our listeners some tips for LDR? What are some do's and don'ts for the long-term distance relationship?
Yeah, I thought she was going to mistake and say LDS, which is a whole different thing. That's a Mormon thing. Well, let's see. So gifts are nice, surprises. And besides the dollar store thing, I made a deal where I consulted with a guy that has a big super, one of the best infrared saunas in the world. And so I traded my work because I know they love that health stuff. We have two saunas here in the retreat center, one infrared, one regular, but she doesn't have one at home. So I had him send her one in exchange for me helping her. So, you know, that was a big thing, not the little dollar store stuff. So I take care of them, much as I can. And then she sends me stuff, even though I don't want it. All these pills she sends me all the time, but I know she's thinking about my best interest. So whether I take advantage of it or not, doesn't matter. It matters that she, she cares so much. And it brings up, if you can let me take a little sidebar,
of course.
Because of my position in life that I've gotten to, like she said, you know, I'm a multimillionaire. You really, and this is, I don't know how many guys you have on the show and how many, you know, successful guys you have on the show, but you're at a point sometimes where you don't know who to trust when you're already successful. I don't want to use the term gold digger, but I mean, you just don't know. I remember a guy I know knew, Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses, and just so filthy rich and so successful, you just never know who's really cares about you personally. And so I know she cares about me personally. She couldn't care if I'm broke, you know, as long as I'm healthy and happy, she's good with it. So that's one perspective from successful guys nowadays. And I even saw on the news that millennial girls can't find anybody to marry because the guys are all soy boys that can't do anything. You know, they're happy to have them for friends. They'll go shop for fabric with them, but they don't want to marry them. You know, so they want people that can actually do stuff. And, you know, I'm totally blue collar, came up my dad. I go to Home Depot just to channel my dad, you know, because he taught me how to use tools and do stuff. And she's the same with her dad. And so that was another connection that we had through our parents. So I never met her dad. She never met mine. But we both know everything about our parents. So so gifts are nice. Thoughtful calls. Now, I can't send her flowers. I learned that like right off the bat. She thinks that's a waste. That's killing that beautiful thing where she'd rather have a plant. Or she went freaking crazy. I sent her some clippers that, you know, you I don't know. I hardly do any of this stuff. But and so she's like thrilled to death. I send her these clippers with the little jaws for thick stuff and the long skinny jaws, and she's happy as a lark. And then there was some stuff at the dollar store. I said, do you really want these? They're kind of crappy. Yes, send them. I'll use them. Knowing after a while, you know what the person really likes and doesn't like. And then without being told, you fill that need and keep letting them know that you're in their ballpark the whole time. But working on your sense of humor, I got to tell you, it can just be massively, you know, people out there maybe don't have anybody right now that are listening to this show. And that would be one thing you could work on. And people say, well, you can't really train that. Yes, you can. You can make it a point in your life to improve that part of your life. And you'll attract so many more people when you can be lighthearted, make fun of yourself, things like that. So that's one of the best tips, not necessarily for long distance, but.
Okay. There's two things that I want to comment on that you said. One thing you said about with the young people, I don't know if Dr. Kelly, if you've seen this in your practice, but many young couples, they really think that they should spend every second together. And they get like so involved and there's no air. They're like always, always, always together. And then it doesn't work out. And kind of like what you said, Tom, sometimes you need space.
Mm-hmm.
You need space in a relationship. And older couples have made it through because they've had that space, which is something that you guys have. Is it space? You have your own stuff, but you also come together. So I don't know if you've seen that, Dr. Kelly, in your practice at all.
I have a little bit. And one of the things that I like to equate it to is like, think about a fishbowl. If you keep two little goldfish in a small fishbowl, that's how big they're going to get. So if you have more space in a larger employment environment, not, well, perhaps 11,000 square foot there that Tom's living in, but you have a bigger space and then the people can grow and you have to do things individually.
Right.
So I can gain all the weight I want too, because there's plenty of room here.
Yeah, right on. And there you have it. And we only get to see from here up. So
right.
And so then the second thing, Tom, I'm assuming you have a course to teach people how to create more humor or to laugh.
I thought you were going to say relationship. No, I don't think people want relationship advice from me. Although I have a lot of insights on relationships. Like did you hear there's and I had a nightclub for 6 years also. Remember, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. Right. And I saw people come to the nightclub, meet each other, and then disappear for a couple years, get married, and then both of them come back divorced, you know, drinking, you know, crying in their beer. So, but that kind of reminds me, did you see that they're coming out with the Barbie divorce doll?
No, I love Barbie. No, Barbie and Ken got divorced.
The Barbie divorce doll, it comes with everything Ken had.
Oh, that's awesome. The house.
So, yeah, I don't know if anybody would want that off me, but I've been teaching humor for a long time. We have a webinar called Make Them Laugh, but it's mostly geared towards professional speakers. But there's so many ways you can be fun and funny without telling jokes. And one of the ways is you show cartoons that you saw somewhere, or you even tell about cartoons. For instance, there was a cartoon where Superman was in bed with a girl, and the girl is crying and all upset. And the caption was, "I can't help it. I'm faster than a speeding bullet." So you could just recite things like that and be funny. But you just have to be appropriate with it now, because everybody's so politically correct nowadays. You got to be extra careful. Right. But there's still plenty of ways to have fun and be fun, and teasing each other is one of the best things, because even in roast humor, roasts are an honor, you know. When they roast, you know, some big celebrity, that's an honor. And they say the nastiest things about them, but everybody knows that the people that are saying it loves them. You know, mm-hmm. So you can't roast somebody you don't like, because then they'll be look mean-spirited. So there's plenty of ways to improve that. And that would be one of the number one ways, besides, you know, at least looking half decent. And even people that don't look half decent that are funny get some of the most wonderful relationships, because that's more important in the long run than the looks.
Yeah. So do you have a website where you sell your books or talks on?
I got so many places. Yeah. So their best bet is to just get on my podcast called Screw the Commute. That leads you, if you go to screwthecommute.com, there's a resource section that leads you to all the stuff I have.
So I just figured out what you mean by screw the commute.
Yeah, I never had a job.
Right. I mean, you know, it just takes me a while. You know, I may be a doctor, but yeah, and it makes sense. You're even screwing the commute in your relationship.
Well, that's true.
You know, we don't have to commute. We can have a successful relationship long distance. And I beg to differ with you. You do offer great advice for relationships. And you are a person that should be respected and listened to, because you're in two decades of this and you're showing compassion and care for your girl. I have a question.
Yeah, sure. You were going to push me a while back. I didn't feel pushed.
I will. But, no, I'm curious about if culture plays a factor into your relationship. You refer to her, some of these things, and it sounds like there's a cultural variable.
Well, when you say cultural, how do you mean?
I'm talking about, like, you know, you said something like pills from like that were crowned up in Taiwan or something. Oh. Like that.
Well, yeah, she is. She's into all this holistic stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm not against it. It's just that some of it doesn't work fast enough. If it did, if it was going to work at all, you know, I'm dead before it kicks in. she doesn't think that way. But I'd say backgrounds and family values are probably pretty much aligned for both of us. You know, conservative background, you know, frugal, don't waste things, treat people right. You know, where I came from, a handshake meant something, you know, right. In those days, you know. So
what about spiritually? Do you guys vibe and agree spiritually?
Well, I am, when people say, "What religion are you, Tom?" I really confuse them. I say, "I'm Poseidon." And they're like, "The heck is that?" Well, yeah, I'm pretty practical. I don't really go to church, but I remember the original Poseidon Adventure movie with Shelley Winters and Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman was a preacher, and he was on deck. And I remember this vividly many years ago. And he was saying that you use the little bit of God in you to do good for people. And I thought, man, you cannot go too far wrong with that idea. And that's the way I pretty much live my life. And it kind of reminds me, because we lived in such a small town, I went to the Methodist church, and across the street was the Catholic church. That's all that there was. And I fell in love with Martha Kinkoff in third grade, and she was in the Catholic church. So I went over there, and the further you sat towards the front, the more money you gave to the church, the further you sat towards the front. And I'm at third grade, I'm thinking, man, I don't know if that's a good, if that's really the greatest idea. And nowadays, though, I mean, they got ATM machines in the back of the church. And I mean, you got to.
Really? Like, I never knew that.
And I always tease, you got to swipe your credit card at the end of the pew to go sit down. And so it's a big, big money deal. But so we're both spiritual, but not really religious so much. Yeah, I was baptized Greek Orthodox. You know, my dad came from Syria and all that.
Holistic is a lot of holistic
that's the religion?
People I know are very, no, they're very spirit filled. Like they're in touch with their spirit.
Well, you know, I live in Virginia Beach, and there's a lot of that stuff around. Down near the oceanfront is the Edgar Cayce Center, which is a kind of woo-woo kind of thing. And everybody is the heritage store where there's all the crystals, and everybody's down there, and you can become a Reiki master in like 2 days, you know? And you know, Reiki, you know, yeah, I said, anybody that's called a master should have been doing something for 20 years, not 2 days. So I told him, hey, can I get a Reiki car wash or a Reiki haircut? How's that going to work? So but anyway, the people that go in the heritage store are the sickest looking people I ever saw in my life. It's all health food, holistic stuff. And they look like they're ready to die. It looks like Ichabod Crane, you know, they're all related to them. So yeah, she's totally into it. I go along with it. But I swear to God, you will not tell her I use the microwave.
I already forgot how you reminded me.
Yes. Well, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll take questions from the audience.
If you are listening to this commercial, you have a pulse. If you have a pulse, you have stress. You may need a therapist. How do you find a therapist? Oh, you go to your phone book. Wait, what's that? Go to the World Wide Web, you type in therapist near me. And then you find a list of acronyms. LMHC, LPC, NCC. How on earth do I understand this and navigate this? Go to drkellyboucher.com. Dr. Kelly specializes in helping people that struggle with anxiety, stress, burnout, grief, depression, compassion fatigue, sleep issues, body image issues. You can have help today. DrKellyBoucher.com.
Welcome back to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. So Tom has been here talking to us about how successful that him and his partner have been in connecting for 20 years, which has been such an amazing thing. And we've learned so much. And one of the things we've learned was the importance of humor, which is so needed in today's world. Yeah. So thank you so much for what you've been sharing with us. Now we're going to take some questions from the audience. Okay. Dr. Kelly, do you have a few?
I have a couple. I have one from Anne in Amherst, Virginia.
Let me, I'm a psychic. Let me say, she says, what's wrong with that guy? Is that what her question was?
What's wrong with the microwave? No, I'm kidding. No, not at all, actually. Said, thank you, Tom, for your insight. What were the stages of your relationship?
The stages? Well, said we met on Love at AOL. I went down to, one of the things that even when I was dating, I always said I never go on a first date, ever. I've never been on a first date. I said, because I usually talk to somebody enough by phone or whatever, you know, in those days by phone, that it doesn't feel like a first date when I first see them. So she claims that she was already in love with me before she even met me in person. Mm-hmm. And so it was because of time on the phone, talking, laughing together, teasing each other, and, you know, learning about our families and stuff, because it's 3 hours away. So it wasn't like, okay, let's meet, you know, for a drink, quick coffee. No, it was a big deal to go 3 hours and find her. So that was the first stage, was getting to know her before I ever met her. And then the second stage was, going deeper in, hey, you know, I'm happy with you. You happy with me? Yeah. Yeah. So, being committed to each other. And, I don't know. That's like one long stage from there. And so, and then there was discussions of marriage and stuff. And, we had looked at rings, this and that. I've never been a big fan of rings. They were invented by diamond salesmen. And that's true. In the 40s, the De Beers company invented that. That's not a standard thing. And so, so we kind of got past that period and kind of figured, okay, we're stuck with each other and we're going to make it work. So it was, I didn't see any big demarcations of it, but, the opening always for me is to get to know somebody before you even bother meeting them, you know, because they could be the most attractive person in the world, but if they're a schmuck and not in line with your values, then it's nothing more than a hookup.
Yeah. You better believe it. In fact, my sister, who had 8 children from the same man who actually left her with the 8 children, she said, and by the way, she called him Superman. He looked like Superman. But she said, you give me a bald, kind man anytime. She would choose that over.
Yeah, there you go.
So I have another questioner. This is Lynn from Michigan. It's a bit of a paragraph. Lynn, I'm going to just consolidate this. Lynn must have been listening from the very beginning, because she said, based on what you said, Tom, based on what you said regarding your mother and your relationship with your mother, how did you learn to be such a great communicator?
Well,
because mothers, it's to infer that mothers are the ones that teach us to communicate. They're more emotional, and you're an emotional communicator. So,
well, the way I look at it is that your parents can be either are always a great example. And I didn't invent this, but either what you want to be like or what you don't want to be like. So I knew right off the bat that I did not, when I was old enough to realize things. I mean, I was valedictorian in my high school, all state football scholarship, did not drink, did not smoke, perfect child. I came home one day from school. My entire bedroom was out on the front lawn. It's just threw it out. I don't know if that was empty nest kind of stuff where I was leaving for college. And I have no idea. But I knew that I'm never coming back here. I'm not going to be like her. However, none of my brothers lifted a finger when she was going downhill. I spent, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars taking care of her in her last days. And I can sleep at night now because I'm not like her. Okay. I was in her purview for years and influenced by her, but I'm not going to be her. And so I went the opposite direction. Luckily, I mean, I can't take credit for it. It's just, you know, I was lucky to do it. So, but I can sleep at night now because I didn't turn the way that she would have turned me.
That's character.
It is. Yeah.
Integrity.
I'm a character. People do say that. That's for sure.
Yes, you are. Yes. I have a question from Louisa from Alabama. She's wondering, she's in a long distance relationship, she says, but every time that she goes to meet him, it's awkward a little bit at first in the sense of sexuality and that kind of stuff. How do you guys deal with that? Is it awkward or?
No, not at all. No, it's, I think all, and I would ask this listener, you know, is there a lot of phone calls? Is there a lot of talk in that intimacy we talked about before of what's your day like? How's it going? What can I do to help you? You know, what do you want from the dollar store? You know, so I don't know how much of that there is, but no, nothing at all. No barriers whatsoever. Yeah.
Good. way. And you mentioned a good thing about the verbal and the emotional thing has to be strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question from Melanie in Kentucky. Can you just have a male-female friendship, but not be sexual, but be 100% close in all ways? Is that possible? So it sounds
like I couldn't.
What, you couldn't?
No. I have friends. I'm pretty well known, and I speak at these big events, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people all the time, and I've had plenty of people approaching me, you know, not because I'm Mr. anything other than, you know, got money. I think it's very difficult if you're attractive to a friend to have that balance that both of you know it's just friendship. It's usually one way's leaning, one way wishes it would be. So I think you can do it, but not in close proximity, put it that way.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Well, that was it.
Okay. Yes. Well, thank you. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I forgot to tell you something, because remember I was mentioning the bar where I saw people come in, and then get married, disappear, and then come back divorced. So there's my favorite saying about that is marriage is grand, but divorce is 200 grand. But I always thought I'm very practical. I'm like, you know, the divorce rate is so enormously high. What were those people thinking? And could that happen to me? So I've always avoided the marriage thing. A commitment is fine, but the actual writing it down on paper, and even so, I got stuff willed to her and everything, just never was interested in the marriage stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's funny. Yes. Thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find more information out about all the services that you provide?
Yeah, if you go to screwthecommute.com and hit the resource page, you see all kinds of stuff. I have products and services. And, you know, my main thing is my internet marketing training, my school and so forth. So I'd be glad to talk to anybody. And there's no big pressure with talking to me. If I can help you, great. If not, that's cool too.
Right now? Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Dr.
Oh, okay. I was just going to ask. You mentioned the Internet Marketing School, but I was curious who should think about going to Internet Marketing School.
We have several different folks. I mean, kids coming out of high school that don't want to do a 4-year thing and be in deep debt and then be competing for jobs at Starbucks. That's, you know, I'm very much against the traditional education nowadays. So that's one faction. Another faction, somebody has a business that they're paying a fortune to other outside professionals and then not getting the results online that they want, where, you know, we can knock down the cost 90% and increase their presence online like crazy. So that's another one. And then people that are just looking for a side hustle, you know, those nurses, you know, would be perfect because, you know, they, nurses, teachers, folks like that that want a side hustle. Yeah.
And speaking of side hustle, can we buy your girlfriend's jewelry?
Except you can't. This is kind of goofy, you know, the cobbler with no shoes. I built her 3 websites. She didn't like any of them. Uh-oh. She's got such an eye for design and stuff. There's no way I could do it. So she has private clients, and you can email her. And then she would talk to you about what things you like and give you suggestions personally. Yeah. So she has only private clients. Yeah.
Side hustle on and save some money.
Yeah. Her regular necklaces are anywhere from $200 to $400. And she does earrings and stuff like that. And then she has really show pieces that are, I don't know, look like Cleopatra to me, but
wow, she's fascinating.
Yeah, she's very, she could sit down
there with a piece of paper. Like?
She's gorgeous. Amazing. She's, 18-year-olds would be jealous of her. Yeah, and that's the one holistic thing. She's only, her mother's sent for 50 years has never let the kids have sugar or anything like that. And so the kids are all perfect. Yeah.
Glad you have such a great life.
Yes. A wonderful girlfriend. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you again for being on the show. Yes.
And My pleasure.
Yeah. And this show actually started off our love shows for February. And so, Dr. Kelly, do you want to talk about the rest of the shows for February?
Yes. Here we go into the month of love.
Yes.
February. In February 4th, we're having Krzysztof Zajac-Denik on Big Things Come in Small Packages. Then February 11th, Marla Renee Stewart with Building Self-Confidences, Love Handles and All. And February 25th, Shira Gaba with Love Smacked, Love Addiction and Codependency. So those are the upcoming shows that we have in February.
Yes. Awesome.
I do have some reminders for the listeners that we are going weekly. So don't forget that this is happening every Thursday at 3 Eastern Standard. We will be having a membership that will be launched in the next couple months. So just put that in your hopper. And remind you also that the American Nurses Foundation is who we're sponsoring. And be sure to follow us on YouTube. Like us, share us, and subscribe, because we sure appreciate it. We want to get the word out that people can have intimacy in their relationship with their self, their spirit, and their loved ones, such as you have heard today from Tom. How do you say your last name, Tom?
It's Antion. It's actually a mistake.
I would say that. Antion.
Yeah, my dad came into Ellis Island from Antioch, Syria, and they couldn't read it, so they just called him Antioch.
Oh, yeah, that's how I became Bushy instead of Boucher.
Oh, Bushy. Yeah, I didn't want to say anything about that, but
it's okay. You know, I always say my name is Rose. Don't call me Rose Bushy. But Antion. Well, the Syrian from Antioch.
Yep.
Yes. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure. And this has been the Bringing Intimacy Back show. I will see you guys later. Tom, you're always welcome back in the show at any time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.